Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles and leave them for her to glean. So do not rebuke her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So when you're in seminary and you're in preaching class, they warn you about the stories you should and shouldn't tell from the pulpit. So they say, don't say anything so revealing that, you know, you really shouldn't have said that. And don't say anything so boastful that people think, well, you're trying to get credit. So I've really thought about whether or not to share this story, and I actually didn't share it at the first service. It's not about being boastful, but it's about a moment that I was proud of my child. I don't know that it's anything I have done, but I truly believe it's God's presence throughout our life that has guided my children. But Will has gone off to school, and he has settled in, and he has found a church, which I am thrilled about. He is part of a praise band, and he worships on Sunday nights. And so a couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from him, and he says, "Mom, I have the coolest story." Well, as a mother whose child has gone to college, if you've ever been in that situation, or a father, you know, like, that's exciting that they want to call home and tell you something, anything. And so he said, "I went to worship and I saw these homeless guys and I said hello to them, and I went on to worship and I came back out and they were there and they said, 'Do you have any money?'" And he said, "Well, no, I don't, but I have this debit card." Comes from mother. And he says, "I will take you and go get you something to eat." And they said, okay, great, that's what we wanted anyway. So he took them and he fed them Chinese, which you may or may not think is a generous offer, but he took them and fed them dinner and invited them to church. And I'd say that because it's just a small moment of generosity, a way of extending to someone else, I see you and I want to be generous in what I have, or parentheses, what my mother has. But generosity, it is so important. It is an important part of living a life that honors God. In that moment, Will was able to extend the love of God to say, come with me, sit down and let's have a meal, and by the way, I want you to come to my church. I want you to see what I'm doing and know that it's from something beyond just me. Generosity, sometimes we get confused about what it is because we lump it in with just being financially generous. And while that is an important part of our generosity, that's not the limitation of what it means to be generous. Being generous is being willing to give something that we possess, something that is important to us, our time, our talents, our wisdom, our stories, our words, our actions, our love. Those are just a few things that we possess that we can give away as an act of generosity. The story this morning, it comes for the book of Ruth, and it's Ruth and Boaz, and it is a beautiful story. And most often when we go to the book of Ruth, we come out talking about how faithful Ruth was to Naomi, or how beautiful it is that Ruth got grafted in to the Israelite family. But I believe that Boaz is a pretty important character himself. He was respectful and gracious. He showed integrity. And he was generous. And his generosity can be seen through multiple levels of the story. First, he was generous with compassion. Boaz saw Ruth and had compassion on her. It says in the 8th and 9th verses, it says, and then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. And if you get thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn. Boaz wanted to help Ruth. He extended his compassion to her. Now, if you think way back at the beginning of this year, in January, February, and March, we talked about compassion. And as we have thought about the things that we have offered at Forest Hill in terms of Bible studies, we have been thinking about compassion. And we define compassion as seeing, feeling, understanding the struggles and pain of another, and responding in action with love. And Boaz demonstrated just that. Boaz demonstrated that compassion. Boaz knew that Ruth and Naomi were struggling. They had found themselves in a hard position. They had lost their husbands. They were at the mercy of the community to help them. And in addition to all that, Ruth was a foreigner. Boaz realized that. And he saw the situation and offered compassion. He responded in action out of love. Compassion is something that we choose to give others. Compassion is something that we too can be generous with. But in order to be generous with compassion, we have to have compassion. We have to nurture that. We have to grow that within the person that we are. There are attitudes that we have that sometimes rob our passion, our compassion. So here are some things that I want you to think about as I say them, and you don't have to confess them out loud. This is not a time of confession, but to think if these are things that you have thought that rob your compassion. When you see someone who is in need, have you ever thought, you know, if they just wouldn't spend money on X, Y, and Z, they would have what they need? Have you ever thought, boy, if they could just get a better job, that's what they need, and then they could take care of themselves? Or what about, you know, if they hadn't made all of these bad decisions, then they wouldn't find themselves where they are. You see what those statements have in common? They're judgmental. They're us looking on the outside at what someone else is doing or has done. And when we put ourselves in that position, you know what we don't have a lot of? Compassion. And yet, it's what Jesus commanded us to do, to love one another, not to stand in a judgmental place, but to approach people with love and respect and compassion. We can never walk another day in someone else's shoes, but we can offer grace and compassion. We can look at people and truly think, I think they're doing the very best they can, and I can come alongside of them and offer them compassion. You see, Boaz could have said, I don't know why this Ruth woman is out here gleaning in my field. She could have stayed home. She isn't even one of us. She should have been home with her family. Instead, he said, I see you. I see your struggle, and I am going to choose to respond in action that grows out of love. And the thing about compassion is this, the more we get it, and the more we cultivate it, and the more we give it away in the world, the more we have. And so it is not a finite resource. In fact, it feeds on compassion over and over and over until we truly become like Christ, who was so very compassionate that he poured out his life, love in action. Boaz was generous with his compassion. Boaz was also generous with the way that he spoke to Ruth. He acknowledged Ruth's sacrifice, and he complimented her efforts. In the 11th and 12th verses, this is what it says. But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you with your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Boaz saw what was happening in Ruth's life, and he spoke positive words of life. Isn't that what we crave sometimes? Isn't it nice when someone sees the things that we do and speaks positive words that are life-giving? I know that feels really good to me. And maybe everybody doesn't feel comfortable with a compliment or an acknowledgement. Most of us do. Most of us want to see that other people can see what we're doing and acknowledge that and encourage us and validate the things that we are doing good in life. Now, I don't propose that most people do things for praise, but I certainly do realize that when someone sees the good that is happening and speaks life into it, it is a place of encouragement. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up indeed as you are doing. Encouragement, like compassion, is easy and it doesn't cost us anything. The only cost is to see people who are in front of us and acknowledge the things that they are doing right. So, would you rather be around someone who builds you up or someone who is constantly negative? Builds us up, right? I try to avoid people who are constantly negative, and I am drawn to people who build me up because you know what I believe? I believe that I am a better person when I am around people who cause me to be better and encourage me to be better than I am, and I want that. That is what the body of Christ should be. We should be so encouraging and so full of joy that people are just knocking down the doors to get in here because we are that happy. Do you feel that happy this morning? That's what we're supposed to be, bubbling up with joy. Not because life is perfect, not because we're happy, but because we have a relationship with God that gives us joy in the midst of the trials of life. As Christians, we should radiate this joy. It should overflow from our hearts and spill out into our actions and cause us to bless others and calls us to live as encouragers. We should be bodybuilders for the kingdom of God, building others up with love and joy. Boaz saw Ruth and he noticed the sacrifices that she had made, and he acknowledged it and he affirmed it. And you know, we don't think a lot about this now as we sit in, you know, 2018, but way back then, for a man to walk up to a woman and say, "What you have done is remarkable and respectable," that was big. That was huge. Here's the thing. We can do that too. We can see what people are giving, what people are doing in the world, and we can validate them. We can encourage them. We can build them up so that others begin to see the love of Christ in their life and the ways that that is blooming. The body of Christ should be people who build others up. We can also be generous with our resources. We all have limited resources, but we can bless others by sharing. Boaz had access to a lot more resources than Ruth, and he was willing to share. In the 15th and 16th verses, it says, "And when she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men to let her glean even among the standing sheaves and not to reproach her. You must also put some handfuls from the bundles and leave them for her to glean and not rebuke her." So he says, okay, not just she can take what's left, but let her have access to the whole field to get what she needs. And not only can she have that, I want you to do the hard work, and I want you to leave her some piles along the way to make it even easier. Boaz realized that he had a lot of things that he could offer, resources that could help Ruth. Sometimes it's hard to see our resources. Sometimes we get so kind of stuck in the day-to-day life that we begin to lose track of how many resources we truly have. We can kind of look at our life and think maybe we don't have a lot, or if we start comparing ourselves to other people, we kind of put ourselves in this category of, well, you know, I don't have everything I want. But when we really look at it, when we really step back and look at our life, we are all so very blessed. And when we look at all that God has given to us, and when we are grateful for all that God has given to us, there are always places that we can find in our life that we can share with others. No matter how much we have or how little we have, there is always something that we can be generous with. Boaz realized that his resources were much greater than Ruth's resources, and so he was generous. And because he was generous, because he chose to be generous in the situation, not only was Ruth blessed, but Naomi was blessed also. This is the time of year at Forest Hill when we begin to look at what we're going to project to do next year in terms of ministry. It's the time when I come to you and I say, God has blessed you so much, and I want you to take a step back, and I want you to look at how blessed you are, to see how much you can give to the ministry of Forest Hill. Not to make Forest Hill better, but to make the world better. We give because we love God, because we're putting our trust and our faith in God, but we also give so that we can be a blessing in the life of others. God has blessed us richly and immensely, and I would just ask that you pray about all that you have and how God would have you to use that so that we can be a blessing in this community, in this world. When I got to Forest Hill, I wanted it to be our vision, and the finance committee, we talked about it. We just felt like it was where we were led, not only to meet the needs of Forest Hill, but go beyond that to take an extra step to meet the needs of our community. And that's happened for 2 years. And with all of my heart, I believe that is going to happen again. Because when we step back and we realize that everything we have been given comes from God, and when we realize how blessed we truly are, then we can be generous. And we can not just meet our needs, but we can exceed them so that other people will be blessed because of us. God has blessed us beyond measure, and we live in a world that is so beautiful and so blessed by God. As people of God, we are given the responsibility to use our resources to bless those around us. We can bless others with our compassion to alleviate suffering in our world, with our encouragement to speak words that lift others up, and with our resources to meet the needs of those around us. Our generosity, it grows out of the acknowledgement that God richly blesses us with His love and His mercy and His grace each and every day. And when we stand at that place and see how much God has blessed us, it is truly humbling. It causes us to be people who are generous, and it causes us to be people who fall on our knees and worship a God that loves us beyond any measurement that we could ever imagine. And when we get to that place and our hearts are broken for the people around us, we will live as generous and faithful people in the world. We will live with joy, with compassion and encouragement, and we will be a place that will change the world through our generosity. Amen.